Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. And so we explore important aspects and areas of life, including business and sales, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more interesting topics. Our broadcast team consists of outstanding people from both Canada and the U.S., including several Napoleon Hill certified instructors, as well as several authors. My name is Tom Tutal Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm also a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter. And in March of 2012, I spoke at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who is the keynote speaker at that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since age 5. That's 44 years now. And in that time, I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, and been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". That's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. I'm also a senior editorial researcher for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication. We're the official and only media partner of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can learn more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, T-A-L-L, .com. My guest today is my friend, Alan Chen, who works at the Napoleon Hill World Learning Center. So you can imagine the amazing people and experiences he gets to have as part of this job. And Alan is an amazing guy. He comes from China, and he came to the United States in 2004 for his education. He was going to Purdue University, and he got his master's degree in science of engineering from Purdue University in 2006. Since 2005, Alan has been studying the philosophy of Napoleon Hill and assisting in the class lectures, seminars, and international events at the Napoleon Hill World Learning Center. Also, he taught the Key to Success class for the Chinese students on campus. And now, as I said, he works at the Napoleon Hill Foundation as an audiovisual specialist. And he's inspired by Napoleon Hill and the director of the Napoleon Hill World Learning Center, Judy Williamson. She inspired Alan to publish his first book in 2012 titled Living in America, a Guidebook for Chinese. Alan says, when I taught the Key to Success class for the Chinese students on campus, I always spent some time to share my personal experience about how to study and live in this country, everything from how to buy airline tickets, apply for a driver's license, buy and maintain a car, rent an apartment, traveling, shopping, insurance, health care, to how to keep your status, legal, immigration knowledge, etc., which is so important because of the two very, very different cultures. Alan says, it's nice to share and give. It's how we make the world a better place in which to live. Alan got married in 2008, and now he lives in Hammond, Indiana, with his wife, Jing. Welcome to the show, Alan. Hello? Alan, are you there? There we go. Sorry about that, Alan. I hadn't taken you off mute. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with people like you, amazing people.
Well, I'm excited about this, Alan, because you know how much I love the Napoleon Hill World Learning Center. And so I think that for you and Chino to work there, my friends, and I think, wow, what a great opportunity it must be for you to work there. And you must meet some really tremendous people, right?
Yes, yes. It's very, very blessed for me to meet Judy and Chino and, of course, Don Green and the Foundation. And when I came to the United States the second year in the university, I got the opportunity to meet Judy. And they give me some work to do, and from then I work more and more, and I really love Napoleon Hill philosophy, so I want to do more with them. So far I have been working with them for probably 6 years.
Yes. And you go to all their events, and as we both know, there's so much IT requirements at these things. People show PowerPoints and videos, and we need mics. And so you are so instrumental with their website and all these various things. But at the same time, you've got to go on all these neat leader certification trips, and you get to meet some amazing people. And so this must be tremendous. Now, I always enjoy the story of how you got your job there. And it was basically you didn't know a lot of English at the time when you applied there, did you?
Yeah, that's true. So I barely used or speak the English in China before I came to the United States. So even at a school, my major is computer science or engineering, so I really don't need to speak that much. So I have a friend. He talked with Judy, and Judy actually wanted to give him a job, not to give me a job. But he doesn't have the time to do that. So he asked me whether I want to do it. I said, of course, I wanted to get that job, no matter what kind of job it is.
Right. And so when you when Judy asked you about these kind of things that you can say that you could do, you said, anything you can do, anything you want me to do, I can do it, right?
I can do it. I really do some research, and I believe I can get the job done very good. So I told Judy, yeah, just let me try to do it for probably the first or second project. If it is good, we can continue working together. If not, I'm quit.
And she took you on, and then later on, I believe your parents came from China to visit, and your mom met with Judy Williamson, didn't she?
Yes, she does.
How did they communicate? I guess you had to be the translator, or does your mom speak English?
And actually, my mom, she is a pediatrician in China, and she just asked me to do anything I could to support Judy, to support the learning center. And I also bought two Laponia schools in Chinese for her, so she can get more ideas of what I'm doing right now. And she
right.
loves Laponia schools.
Nice. And you know what, I'm so proud of your story of, as you said, you didn't speak a lot of English. And my boss at the Canadian Business Journal and other people I know that come to a new country, either Canada or the U.S. from another country, he didn't even speak English. He had a job within 2 weeks. He worked for a Chinese lady washing dishes, and the Chinese lady didn't speak English. So she wrote on a piece of paper how much she was going to pay him, and he just checked off and said, yeah, he'll work for that. But amazing when you have determination and you know you want a job, you can get it even sometimes when you're still just learning the language. And that's very inspiring and encouraging for people that a lot of people, you know, maybe they don't look as hard or they don't find a job, but you can if you're determined and you have a positive attitude. And that's really what I see in you, is that rarely that anything that Judy or anybody asks that you can do for them to help them with their course or whatever they're doing, you always figure out a way to do it. And that kind of person, anybody wants for their organization, regardless of how well they speak English at the time. So I really admire how you do all your work, because everything goes so fluidly and smoothly. And really, as you know, at a lot of these leader certification events, there's a lot of different speakers. So you got to prepare stuff and make sure they all sound good. And so now, because Judy Williamson is an author and the foundation publishes a lot of books, and she convinced our friend Chino at one time to write a book on labyrinths, which he didn't always want to do initially. And so at some point she comes to you and says, Alan, why don't you write a book? Did she have an idea of what book you should write, or did she just suggest you write a book?
Well, actually, she didn't ask me to do a book. But I noticed that she always inspires other people, like you, mm-hmm. like the instructor, the certified instructor, encourage them to share their story, to give back to the country, to the communities, what they have, some care they have. But like Judy encouraged Chino to write a book about the labyrinth. And finally, Chino gets it done, and people love to talk about the labyrinth. So one day, I talked with myself that maybe the next person Judy will talk to is me. So probably I should do it either way.
And the idea for your book is amazing because, well, of course, I've never been to China, so I don't think of this, but when you explained it to me that the cultures are 100% different, and so I hadn't even thought of, like, okay, yeah, how do you buy airline tickets, apply for a driver's license? One example you gave me, renting a car, you know, maybe not even the same process or idea in China. And all the things, insurance, you know, things that maybe in China, because I don't know the culture, these things may be totally different. And so to help the culture shock of Chinese students, was it aimed for mostly, or anyone coming from China to live in the U.S.?
Yes, yes. So I came here, so I need to learn everything. I mean everything. I can see everything is different, even like opening a checking account at the bank or buy a credit card later. So I really get help from the local people here, the friends, the professors from the university. And I did a lot of search online to make sure I get everything done right. So later, when the student asked me about these things, so I think I can talk with maybe 5 or 10 people at one time, but I cannot reach other people from other universities in the United States. There are so many Chinese students come to this country every year, and even more students in China, they really want to know more about this country. So I think I should write a book to share my experience with them so they can get some kind of idea. So the system in this country, the culture here, and for them to do the things, smoothly.
Exactly. And actually, I was thinking you should call it Living in North America, because in Canada, in Vancouver, the Asian population is very, very large, probably the majority. A lot of them go to school there in Vancouver and universities and that. And a lot of the ideas of renting a car, which is foreign concept in China, it's kind of similar in Canada, and you need car insurance, and how do you get a driver's license? It's a lot of the same. You go and apply at a government office, and so it's so important, not even maybe just Chinese students in the U.S., but also in Canada, because our cultures are so similar. But again, I had never thought about, you know, that you guys don't have those simple things, or not. Maybe you have it in a different way. Like, can you rent a car in China?
Before, no. Maybe just 1, 2, or 3 years ago, we have kind of the company can do the car rental. But when
right.
I wanted to do 10 years ago, no company do that. It's a totally different story.
And so simple things like that, it's hard enough to move from China to the U.S. It's totally new culture, but now you have to learn all these new things that you never encountered before. And so what a great idea for the book, and you're building a website on it as well, are you?
Yes, I will do that. And another thing that I will do is people like e-books today, like the Amazon Kindle book or the Apple iBook. So next thing that I will do is I will do the e-book for my book. So if the people prefer to download the e-book, we can do that.
Exactly, and e-books are so popular now, and so many people have e-readers that you'll probably get as many e-reader e-books purchased as you get actual hard copy books.
Yeah, that's true.
And so tell me a little bit more about the book. Who should read it? And tell me a little about what's in the book, just to give people more details about some of the things that we talked about and some of the things that you explained to people, because it's very comprehensive, isn't it?
Yes, I think all the Chinese students come to the United States of America, they should read this book at the very beginning. even the new immigrants, if they like the family immigrated to this country, they should be too. Because when they come here, they don't have an account, a checking account or a credit card account. They need to step by step to create their like the social security background, so later they can like buy a car or buy a house. You need to maybe a couple years to build that background by yourself. Like in China, we don't have this background check. So when we come here, I think this is the most important thing to do. We need to get it done as soon as possible. And also, the Chinese students here, they know how to study. I'm sure most Chinese students here, they are very good about studying here. They don't need to worry about it. When we talk with the local people here, the friends here, we don't have that much of the common topics together because we have a different background. So when we read the book, I think I can help them to learn the culture here a little bit and also give them some knowledge about the people, so like the habits, what kind of things they talk about, and what's their thing, what's their preference from school, and how to apply a job, or how to do the paperwork for the worker permit. There's a lot of things to do besides the study.
Right, right. And as you said, I hadn't thought about that you would put all that in about how cultures and what people talk about and things maybe not to do. Because I remember when we went to Malaysia and the lady pointed out to us that you don't point with your finger like you do in North America. You point with your thumb. And if you point with your finger, it's kind of like being very rude or impolite. And so, hey, you could be someone from North America. If someone doesn't tell you that, you're going to go along for 2 weeks looking like you're rude to everybody when it's just a common gesture in North America to point with your finger instead of your thumb.
Another example is like in China or in most Asian countries, we use cash, not debit card or credit card. So the
Really? They have cash and they don't use the debit cards?
Yeah, they use cash most times. So the student can see, for example, they went to the casino to try to buy a car. They showed them the cash, you know, from China. So you can imagine how price to pay for the dealer.
Yeah.
And it's expensive to keep that much cash in your pocket every day, right?
Oh, man, that's dangerous.
Yes. So I have a chapter for them to familiarize with the bank system here, to open a checking account, debit card, the credit card, so they can use the debit card, credit card like other people in the country, and maybe just keep $20 or $30 in the pocket.
Wow. It would be so beneficial for the students to read it before they get to the U.S. They should read it while they're still in China so that when they land on the ground in the U.S., they have a lot of familiarity about how to get set up quickly.
Yeah, if any people in China, they have a plan to come to the United States or Canada, or they wanted to have a vacation here, they should read this book too.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking you're going to sell a number of books in Canada as well, because a lot of these things that you write about are similar in both our countries as far as our culture. And so extremely interesting. And so the website will be up shortly. And how are you going to promote that? Because you are situated in the U.S. and most of the people that should buy the book are in China.
Yes. One plan is I try to talk with the university here to see whether they can put this book in their bookstore on campus. I already talked with the Purdue University Canada, and the book is available in the bookstore now. So the people on campus of the Purdue University, we can just purchase it from them. So later, I will try to talk with the other university colleges here to see whether they want to do the same thing.
One thing I found fascinating when I talked to you a number of times, Alan, is I love talking about the families, and the family idea in China is, wow, they really look after your kid, their kids, right? You had mentioned that in China, and maybe not like in North America where you have to ask your parents, like, do you have any money to help me with my education? You had mentioned in China it is assumed, it is a priority, and you never have to ask those kind of things. And that's certainly different than North America, isn't it?
The thing is, in China, or I can say like in Korea or in Japan, the education for the new generation is the key for the whole family. So all the family will talk to their children or grandchildren. If they can go to university, everybody will be so happy to support them.
And that's a little bit different than in North America. And so, and then also in China, one child, so you can devote all of your resources, all of your finances, all of your time to make sure that one person, that one child, has everything they need to advance in life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. True. Yeah, we didn't worry about situations. Because parents always get ready for us.
Yes, extremely, and it's so important. And your parents are very accomplished people, aren't they? As you said, your mom's a pediatrician, and I forget what it is your dad does, but he has an important position as well, right?
Yes, yes. My father not only is a general manager for a company, but he's half retired. My mom is retired already. So they are happy about their retirement. And they plan to come here to see me maybe this year or next year.
What is the opportunity for women in China? Like, is it common for women to be doctors? Because I would think in Canada it's probably... As far as maybe family doctors, you know, we probably have 30-40% of our doctors are women. Do they have, like, common, is it common for women to have the same opportunities as men in China?
Well, yes, at least 30% of the doctors are women. And we have the opportunity to go to university, the hospital system. Yes, it's very common.
Wow, that's good. Not every country is good like that, and so it's nice that they have the same opportunity to be a pediatrician as any man does, and so that's a nice culture that way. And so when is your website going to be up? It will be up shortly?
You mean the website about this book?
No, yeah, the website for your book.
Yes, yes, so we are still working on that. Because I wanted to make sure on both sides of the United States and China can see it. So I'm not sure I should build a Chinese website or English website, maybe both, right?
You need to have both, I think. You need to have both. And isn't there a number of dialects in China as well?
What's that? Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
Is there a number of languages in China, different dialects of Chinese?
I want to say most of the people over there use the Chinese.
So is there Mandarin and they're all different languages?
The writing is the same, so maybe the token is different, but the writing is the same. So.
Oh, okay, okay. But yeah, I would think you need English and you need Chinese. Maybe it's also a good way for people to practice their English, to learn the words and see the words, and so you need it in both languages, and it's not easy to do that. You kind of got to duplicate your website, and you can't rely on Google Translate, because my goodness, when I use that on Facebook, it's like half the time I still don't know what the person said, because it's not a very good translation.
Yes, and I'm talking with the publisher in China. They say they're willing to maybe publish this book in China. So we have their resources to promote the book's marketing. So probably we can do a better job than myself.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Neat. And now, what have you been up to lately? Because you guys are always doing some interesting things. Have you got the World Learning Center gone on any trips or done any presentations coming up or lately?
Recently, no. We will have another business certification program in, I think, April.
Start in April, yeah?
Yes, yes. And just check our website, naponcia.org, and we have all the details on the website. And also follow us on the e-sign, so we have all the news on the e-sign every weekend.
Right. Hey, Alan, I learned another interesting or maybe funny thing. Chinese people, maybe different than North American people, they are not seeking always the limelight, right? You were telling me that a few people helped contribute portions of your book, but because of the Chinese culture mostly, none of them really cared about whether you mentioned them or not, including your wife, right?
Yes, and I do need to give the credit to some friends, including my wife. She gave me a lot of help about this book. We're working together, and we checked a lot of things on the website to make sure all the information we provide in this book is correct and on time. So she did a lot of job work done, and also I have another two friends. We contribute well to chapters for this book, but when I ask them, do you want to put your name on the cover? They said no, just put your name, that's good enough.
And that's different than, I should just be honest, it's kind of different than me even, because if you ask me, I'd be like, yeah, please put it in big letters on the front, very nice. But you said that's not so much the culture of the Chinese people, right?
Yeah, it's different.
Neat. And now tell me about, because you've taught some of these Napoleon Hill classes to Chinese students there, and this is a new philosophy for them, isn't it? How do they respond or how do they react to this kind of a philosophy? Because it must be entirely different as much as well. A lot of the characteristics are the same in any country that you need to succeed, but the ideas behind it might be a little different for them, right?
Yes. Honestly, I will say not everybody is ready to receive the information, but
right.
Really encourage every student, the Chinese student, to read the first book of Napoleon Hill. This is a basic book. We use this book for the college, for the university, or for the community here. The name is Teacher Success, 17 Principles. So this book is a very easy to read book. Give them some ideas about the 17 key to success principles, like the first one, the seven purpose. And I realize the Chinese students here, not all of them have a purpose. Maybe just because their parents asked them to go to university or go to the United States to get another degree, not because they can do it. They have no idea what they will do after they graduate from school. So I try to help them to find their dream, their purpose.
And that is the key to it all. If you can find your definite purpose, that unlocks so many different things for people, and it's really not easy to find. Not everybody can know or understand their purpose. And another thing you said, that not everybody is ready to receive it, but whether you're Chinese or English or any language, you could give 100 people Think and Grow Rich, and you know, maybe 5 or 10 of them will really go out and it will change their life, but you still got to give to the 100 so that the 10 can change their lives. And so pretty well any culture that you're in and you give them Think and Grow Rich or any of Napoleon Hill's books, most will not run with it, and the small percentage that do run with it, it can change their life. And so that's probably a similar to a North American culture. Not every, and the timing, you know, when you read it, it has to be the right timing. I think there's a We know there's a phrase, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And so sometimes Napoleon Hill shows up when people aren't really ready for that radical of a thinking process. Not radical, but could be different from what they're thinking, right?
Yes, it is. And some things we cannot control, but we just continue doing what we are doing right now. Like every time I go back to China, I will maybe take 2 or 3 copies of book just to give to my friends. And when we are ready, I believe we will begin to read the book and read more and more, and it will change their mind.
Neat. Now, Alan, because you worked there for 5 years, and the people that communicate with, speak at, come to Napoleon Hill World Learning Center, is there a 2 or 3 that, like, you're like, wow, or really impressed you, or you're like, wow, this is really neat to be working with people like this? Because you've met some tremendous people, as I have, even just at the leader certification programs, right?
Yes, I can mention at least one Chinese student here. He came here as just a very normal student, and he joined the first class, the Key to Success Chinese class with me, and I talked with him about probably the whole semester until the class was finished. And he really have a definite purpose by himself. He knows exactly what he wants to do. So after class, I continue talking with him, and he writes down his like the purpose for this year, the definite purpose for the last 10 years. So to me, I'm not sure which school he is studying in because he transferred to another school, but. What I know is he's really doing very good in his study.
Wow. And those are fun and exciting things when those kind of things happen. And so you've been exposed to a lot yourself just working with the Napoleon Hill World Learning Center, and you've been at some amazingly huge Organo Gold events. Well, one thing I'll remember about you telling me as well, because one time I asked you, because I heard it at Organo Gold events, and I said, how common, how many people like how know about Ganoderma in China? And you had told me that it's really well known, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And everybody knows that. And it's not only to me, it's probably known in for Chinese for thousands of years. We know it's very good for your health, for your body. So if you have an opportunity to go to China, just ask the people over there, I think everybody will say, yeah, this is very good. It's very good for your body.
Wow, and that's what I remember you saying, everybody there. And so it's really well known. And as we know, like Chinese medicine has a lot of advancements and ideas that maybe we might want to start adopting here in North America. I know I went through acupuncture one time, an amazing science and medical profession, and it has results, and I was so interested to learn about it. And there's so many other different things now that people are following here in North America that is based on Chinese medicine to improve their health and to, you know, be as fit as they can and healthy as they can. So I think you guys need to, or we need to learn more about some of the health practices that you have in China, because we could learn a lot to help ourselves. And so that's something I really respect as well. And so tell me a little bit more, anything else you want to tell our listeners in the last couple of minutes here, Alan?
Yeah, just continuing your topic, if you're not familiar with it or don't know what kind of things it is, just be open. Just open your mind and do some research online. It's not very difficult. No matter what it is, just be open. And you will receive a lot of information. And then you will decide, is it good for you or not? It's your choice, but at least be open to it.
At least be open. So right. At least be open. The more open you are to opportunity, the more you're going to find some good ones in there. And so great advice there. Thank you so much for your time today, Alan. I appreciate it. I have a copy of your book, a signed copy of your book that you had sent me, which is very nice. And I really, really see the value of it, even though before I hadn't even thought about such amazing culture differences. But what a great service this book will be to students coming from China to even North America, U.S. and Canada. It'll make their life a lot easier, won't it?
Yes. And please let me give the credit to some people. I need to say thank you to Judy because she always encouraged us to give back to the community to just share the information with others. And of course, Gino, he has me to do the book cover. And of course, you, Tom, because at least you find one big arrow on the back cover, right?
Right. And as you know, I'm a huge fan of Judy. I talk so highly of her, and you're so right. Like, she encourages people to do things. She encourages a lot of people to write a book. And boy, that's such great boss to have. Not only a great organization to work with because of the people and experiences you get exposed to, but you work with some amazing people who are now my friends, right, Judy and Gino, and yourself there at the World Learning Center. So keep up the great work. It's hard to imagine that the work you do, people around the world, as we've seen at the Leader Certification courses, are fans of the Napoleon Hill World Learning Center. You must get visits from your website from many hundreds of, as many countries as there are in the world. And so it's a high-profile thing that you guys are doing, a mission that you guys are on, and you are a really important part of it. And I've always had a lot of fun with you and Gino and Judy, so keep up that great work because you are impacting people positively in many, many countries around the world.
Thank you, Tom.
Have an amazing day.
Okay. Thank you.